Hello and welcome to Geeky Girl Gab. I'm Candace, and with me, I'm my co-host, Brie
Hello.
and Vanessa.
Hey there.
We're talking about stories we would end differently. And we know it's kind of like, what is it, foresight is 50-50 or whatever it is, like that saying. It's like we can look back and kind of see things and be like, you know what? I have a thousand different endings that this, work so much better than the ones they chose, the creators. So one that like Vanessa and I really think should change is How I Met Your Mother.
Please, yes.
I have literally not watched a single episode since the finale because it just ruined the entire series for me.
Had to take a step back because what happened was I usually watch things when they're released in Netflix, and then just binge them. So I wasn't exact, I wasn't current on that season. And then somebody told me how it ended. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I refused to watch it until I was in an emotional, point where I actually could take it, where I could handle it. And it still was horrible. But like I at least wasn't gonna start throwing things at my TV. Even though I felt like it still. I just don't understand. Like they brought so in a certain way, I understand why they kind of did that, but at the same time, it's not one of those shows where you can deviate from a certain line of, because especially since people invest a lot of time and energy in these characters over the years. When you start things up as far as the whole Barney and Robin story, where it was like this really cool, build up, and then finally they get together and then they don't, all that, and then they end up getting married, you're like, yes, like they've made it, they're amazing together, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, they're getting divorced.
And they
How?
spend an entire season on their wedding. That's
I
the
know.
entire last season is spent during their wedding.
And it's just like, why would you do that to us? First of all, second of all, the whole thing of Ted and the mother really being awesome together.
Yeah, that's the problem is they made the mother amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just made us love the mother. And also something about Robin and Barney is they kind of hinted at it even like the first season. So they built like it was slowly building and it was really good storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. It was very good storytelling. It was and another thing that this is kind of along the same lines, which is where I started thinking, oh my God, I don't want to watch this show anymore, was it was the episode Symphony of Illumination, when Rob when it's told from Robin's perspective, and it's like the kids that she would have with Barney, and then you found out that she can't have children. I was like, really? You gotta go that real with it. Why would you do
It's a
that?
sitcom.
Why
No, but
would you do
that's a sitcom that's really made me cry, which I didn't know they could do
that?
that. But another thing is, they spent so many years telling us why Ted and Robin just don't work, and we see
Yes.
why they don't work. And we agree. We're
Exactly.
like, this isn't going to end well. So with them ending up together in the end, like in our minds, knowing what we know that's going to end in heartbreak.
Right. And I know that they wanted to bring it full circle because, the beginning of it was him seeing Robin and being like, this is the woman for that I'm going to marry, blah blah blah. But and they wrapped it up so perfect, or they tied it in a bow, I think, in their minds by being like, yeah, he got his kids because he married the mom, but then she died, so now he can be with Robin. And it's I know that people, this happens all the time as far as people. Well, people get married, there's their spouses, and then they move on. But it, just with this certain thing, it's a little weird just because it's almost like he was pining for her the whole time, even when he was married to the mother. That's what it seems like, at least, because he gets together with her.
Yeah,
Like,
and so
almost like, yeah.
he really got everything he wanted. He got the kids
Yeah.
and he got Robin. So he lived the best of both worlds, you know, kind
Yeah.
of thing.
And it, but it just didn't seem right. It didn't seem, I don't know. I also just really love Barney and Robin so much.
Me too.
They were one of my favorite TV couples.
Same. And they ended them so suddenly when they had all this dilemma, like, oh yeah, we're divorced, it's over. be like, okay, you just got married in the last episode.
Exactly. And it's just, no, don't like it. Don't enjoy it. And
I wonder if, honestly, if the show ran for so many years.
Yeah.
If maybe the creators thought maybe this is a 5-year show. If they had it shorter, maybe it would have worked. Because I think this is what happens is with some writers, they just stay committed to one ending. But with TV or book series, you have to grow.
I think that they might have had it as a possibility because I think that when it came to, I don't even know how they filmed that last scene with the kids and they looked the exact same age. Oh no, they filmed
it years in advance. So
okay, that's what I think. Yeah, so I'm sure that they had it. Yeah, they had it. They had it in the back of their minds, and maybe they were going to always end it like that. I don't know, but I definitely do think it went on a little bit longer than they thought because so I actually went to a talk at University of Maryland with Josh Radner. And he was talking about, I mean, he was talking about multiple things because now he does a lot of directing and producing and stuff like that, but he played set, but he, you know, he talked about a lot of things. And one of the things was, something about, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said something along the lines of, he was joking about how he was doing this whole, like this whole How I Met Your Mother thing. And it's like, cause this show's still on the air because you guys just love us so much and won't let us go. I mean, he said it in a nice way and like a funny way, but I was still just like, huh, yeah, that show probably is going on longer than they originally intended.
But yeah, you're right.
Well, they did based on a true, like,
no. if Barney Stinson was real, he would be like in jail for like sex crimes.
He would be in jail. Nobody would have been friends with him. He would have had 1,000 STDs.
Yeah, he would be dead pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, I thought when they were first coming out, they said something. It was based on like the creator's like true story or something.
It might have been like based on like a little bit. Like I remember the bar was inspired by like one of the places McGee's they hung out.
McGee's in New York City. It's where they – and I've been there.
They worked for Conan, right?
Yeah, well, was it Conan or was it, I don't remember now, but it was one of the late night shows, so that was the bar that they would always go to afterwards because it was right around the corner. And they actually, the bar now has like a whole bunch of different, like How I Met Your Mother trivia nights and stuff like that.
Cute.
So it was, they drew inspiration, I think, from certain things, but I don't think it was like based on any particular like story.
Oh, got it. I mean, I've never seen the show, so like.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I don't think Bree knows what we're talking about.
Which,
don't watch it. It's trash.
No, I mean, no, but that's the thing. Watch it.
I'm so angry. Don't watch the last season.
Don't watch the last season. Yeah, you can
watch the last episode even. Just watch the last two episodes.
I know it happened. It's not like.
I know, but that's the thing is that like they have such good episodes and it's because it's our generation's Friends, I feel. I mean, even though Friends is still kind of our generation at the same time, but we were
like in an elementary school.
Yeah, that's true. Like this is more relatable in a lot of different ways
because we were actually like kind of adults when this was on. So
yeah, exactly.
Kind of adults.
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Is there ethnicity in it?
Nope.
There's not.
No, there is. There is.
Barney has a black brother.
Yeah.
One. Okay.
Wayne Brady.
Is it really?
No, there's more. There's
Wayne Brady.
I'm just saying,
is it really our generation's, like, generation's thing?
Because it's not like they're being racist. It's just
they're not being racist. I'm just saying like diversity. You know,
Friends don't have any diversity.
Okay. I know. I've never really seen Friends either.
Yeah, and but that's the thing is not every single friend group in today's society has diversity.
You're right, that's true.
And I mean, I'm not saying that's good or anything. I'm just saying that it's it just is not necessarily true for every friend group.
No, that's true. I was just saying,
and it's not that they're against it.
Generation saying if it doesn't happen.
Every friend group we're in is diversity because we're both mixed.
Truth. This is true.
It's like it doesn't matter where we go. Diversity.
We're mixed.
Because we are diversity.
But yeah, anyway, how do you think you would end it, Candace? Just like
Barney and Robin together, and then the mother and Ted together.
Yeah, and then that's just the end, right? Yeah.
Isn't the mother dead?
Yeah. The mother is, yes, but that's what we're saying. We would have ended it differently. Like, she didn't die.
Oh, yeah. Why? No, not, death happens, though.
It does. Okay, this is because like I said, if you have a show like this where people have invested so much time and energy in it and have grown to love the characters, and it's not like it's not supposed to be like this heavy drama or anything.
It's not This Is Us.
Yeah, it's
a 30-minute, 3-camera sitcom.
Yes, like you have to end it a certain way. And I mean, I know that a lot of creative people, we're all creative people, but I know a lot of creative people would say that, no, like, you know, it's their baby. They can end it the way that they want to. But when you start a show like that, you have to know that you can't. I'm sorry. And I know a lot of people have debated me on this point, but I'm very fervent about it.
Oh, is it because like you invest the time and the whole point is getting to know the mother and then she dies?
Yes. No. Well,
you spend all this time with Ted. He's talking about the perfect woman. And he goes through all these relationships. He's get left at the altar. He goes through these breakups. And even though I will admit I started hating Ted after a while because he was a little douchebag.
He's a little bit of a douchebag, it's true.
But you're kind of like you're still rooting for him. And he ends up meeting this woman, and she, you always think, okay, if they do ever introduce this mother, she can't be as good as we're all picturing, you know, because she's this idealized, you know, thing. But they pick the best actress, I forget her name, but she's a Broadway star, and they actually made her flawed and like kooky and interesting. And
oh, and that was his too. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, yes, and that was it was his perfect. And the thing is that, and then we, and like we said, it's also like they made us love Barney and Robin together. And so they completely, and so this is the same argument I'm probably going to make later. So I'm sorry for that. But you can end stories in one of two ways. They can either be the pretty package that everybody wants, or they can be realistic. And they went realistic. And what I'm saying is that with shows like this, storylines like this, you have to go the way that people want it to go. And I hate saying that because I know that it does kind of step on creative, you know, liberty and all this kind of stuff. But it is a particular thing that we have gotten used to and that we actually that a lot of people need. And I'm saying also, that because growing up, I loved a whole bunch of different kinds of series. And I got really involved in everything. And it was like, I was literally heartbroken when it ended in a certain way.
Do you think though, and this is just me being devil's advocate. Like I said, I've never seen the show. What?
Go for it. I said, go for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never seen the show or anything. I just come from like I actually love like realistic things just because I feel like we don't talk about realistic relationships as much as we should and stuff like that. However, would it be better because like How I Met Your Mother actually do, because I know she dies, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I didn't avoid the spoilers because I didn't, you know, obviously.
Yeah, we should put a spoiler alert at the beginning of this. Not like, I mean, you probably, it's been out people for probably years. Know. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I know about it and I've never seen the show, you know what I mean? Like, anyway. I get it. But would it be better because How I Met Your Mother to me, I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. It's like she died and like the kids, he's telling them the story that maybe like they never got around to telling. Would it be better if they did that, but then kept it where Robin and Barney were still together and he was just telling the story to his kids?
Except because the story he's telling isn't about the mother. It's telling kids about all the women he slept with before the mother. It is really awkward.
Well, yes. I mean, granted, I get that.
So here's my thing with it is that if you want to tell that story, great, do it. Choose a different medium. That's my thing. Choose a different medium. Make a movie. Make a drama.
I don't think like a movie would have like encompassed everything that they wanted to do though with creating these characters.
Probably not, but what I'm saying is that if you want to tell that story, then you have to tell that story in a different way than
why?
Because in a sitcom, people expect a certain thing.
Yeah, but like, isn't it better to watch something and like relate to it?
But you do. That's the beauty of How I Met Your Mother, was the fact that you were relating to it the entire time. All this, like all these years, we're relating to all these different things, and and at the end, you just want to be like, cool, it turned out okay. Like, and it did, I guess, in, you know, some people's minds, but you want everything to turn out okay, especially when we use things like How I Met Your Mother as not only like something to relate to, but also as a way to kind of escape the shittiness of everyday life. That's why we watch movies. That's why we escape into TV shows, movies, book series, and all these different things. And I just feel like there are different mediums for different kinds of stories and ways you want to say something.
I get your point, but at the same time, if we limit ourselves to be like, okay, only sitcoms can only have happy endings and that's it. Like, that's so limiting.
I know.
I get we're like wanting to escape life right now because it's fucking shitty out there and everything. Like, I fucking hate it. It's why, like, you know, I only like watch the news occasionally, you know? But like at the same point in time, limiting creativity, limiting those real world things, like I just think then we're like hindering ourselves and hindering like people to learn empathy and hindering people.
But the thing is, I don't think they're limiting creativity. I think it actually, the ending was not being creative at all. Because
you think they took the easy way out?
Because they decided this ending years before, because they have the children there, and the children are, they age. One of the kids is a brother from Wizards of Waverly Place, and the other girl is from Kick-Ass. Like, they are, it was on for like 10 years, so they filmed a bunch of scenes with these kids, including the ending, years in advance. So I don't think they knew, okay, this is going to go on for a few years, but they didn't think like 10 years later, 9 years later. So I think they're like, okay, well, we have this ending with the kids. We have to actually like kind of pivot and make it work, but we want it to go this way. So I feel like
they should have been thinking about it the whole time then.
Yeah, what you're telling me is that they strayed from their original idea and then had to stray back towards it.
Yeah. Right? And I think they, I feel like they were kind of going, during the series itself, they were going towards what the fans wanted, which was Barney and Robin and stuff like that. But then they're like, oh, but our ending is this. But the thing with TV, there's so many outside things that happen with television.
Mm-hmm.
People might want to get off the show. There might be a writer's strike. An actress might get pregnant. Things like that happen. So you have to adapt with the show. And I think that creates some really great creativity.
Yeah. Like the actually one of those things in How I Met Your Mother was when Lily had to leave because she was having a kid. And all they did was tell that joke. And she's
it was like some really raunchy joke that Barney told, and she was so mad at him. You didn't see her for the next few episodes.
Yeah, and it was kooky, and it was funny, and it was just like, obviously, you know that wouldn't happen, but it was
Alex and Hannigan was just off having a baby.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what was happening.
Oh, got it. True.
So it was a good joke, and that was like something creative and silly, and I would have never thought of doing that.
Yeah,
I would have been
Unlike an angel, where that's
an ending. Oh God, they ruined Cordelia.
God, they
ruined that. Okay, that's another thing. We could do whole episodes about how pregnancies, who does good with pregnancies and who like just wrecks them. I think we've done enough of How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah,
let's do another one. Yeah. Bree, do you have one?
Besides like. Let's see, there's Angel, there's Lost, there's Buffy should have ended after season 5, really.
Which one makes you the most angry?
Honestly, Angel. Because that was getting to be a better show than Buffy.
Yeah, actually, in season 3, because it was season 6 of Buffy moved to UPN, Mm-hmm. And then it was Angel season 3, and that it was really picking up steam. And I mean, Josh had left both shows, Josh Whedon, but Angel just had it was still going while Buffy kind of lost it after she left high school.
It's true. Well, okay. Well, to touch base on both, because this is where it gets dicey in the transition of the two. Buffy took a turn in season 5 when Dawn came into play.
Mm-hmm.
And is I know a lot sister? Of people.
Yeah, yes. That was a sister that magically appeared.
Yeah. Oh. And also, I thought it was a bit weird that they chose a goddess to come as a big evil for season 5, because at the time, it never fit the storyline. Huh?
The mythos or the storyline? I think that what they're trying to do with Glory, which was played by Claire Kramer, she was on Bring It On, and some other shows. I think they were just trying to make it this is the biggest thing that Buffy's ever had to face before, because they keep trying to top themselves, right?
Yeah, but it seemed out of demographic, honestly. There's some parts are cool. I like the nurse who was kind of playing like as her pawn, Glory's pawn, you know, the male nurse. I completely forgot his name.
Same, but he was actually
the first,
he was actually
right?
Glory.
Oh, that's right. He was actually Glory. Well, she was in him, and then, I mean, you know what I mean? She would take over his body. You know what I mean?
Gross.
5 years old now.
always,
right? But what was weird was it just felt so out of demographic. I got the first, you know, the first was always in the Buffy
the first
realm.
Evil.
Yeah,
or the first season.
No, the first.
The first evil.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you meant the first season or the first evil.
No. The first. The first in quotation marks, you know? Mm-hmm. That felt in demographic, because they kind of had built it up. Remember with Buffy seeing, you know, the first Slayer, right? When that whole thing happened.
That was season 4.
Yeah. Well, yes, but still, it still was in the demographic, and I see how they led up to it. But then Glory just felt so out of whack, and the fucking Dawn came in. Sorry for my language. I hate her, so I get passionate about it, because all of this character's purpose was to whine. From season 5 to season 7, it was Dawn whining, and I wanted to strangle her.
So do you think it should have ended at season 4 even?
It would have been, well, no, because then there'd be no ending, and then I would be furious about it. You know what I mean?
The season 5 ending was a good ending, because Buffy sacrificed herself for her sister, for love, really.
Yeah, but it still felt so out of demographic. That whole season didn't make sense to me.
You keep saying demographic, and I'm just thinking of people.
The whole demo of it. I mean, it felt out of the realm, out of character, that whole
out
season.
Of the mythos of Buffy, right? Out
yes,
of
I'm out of the mythos. I mean demographic, which is that. We're basically saying the same thing. I'm just not saying that word. But yes, the mythos of Buffy.
I'm in marketing. So when I think demographic, I'm people.
I get that. I guess I just say it's out of demo, because it's not in cohesiveness. You know what
it
I mean?
It doesn't seem like it fits into the canon.
No, it doesn't. So that whole season 5, I was sitting there. I'm like, I hate this. The whole thing with Spike and Buffy. I was like, no, they're good as anti-people together and just to spar.
I love them together. It's Buffy forever.
Oh, I hate them together.
So much chemistry. But again, I haven't watched it since I was a little 14-year-old girl with a crush on James Marsters.
Well, I guess I liked it because it did. They weren't good for each other. They were very toxic, and so that was fine.
What's the fun of it?
I get that, but whatever. Okay, but I digress. I hated Dawn, and that's my main
what does that have to do with the ending? That's what I want.
Yeah, the whole ending, because she was a part of it. So from season 5, season 5 was so out of canon to me. So when they brought Buffy back, I liked when they were trying to create the Buffy bond and everything, but then it just felt different. Like, and I get there's a natural shift when someone dies and gets brought back. Obviously, there's going to be a natural shift and there's going to be like, it feels different. And, you know, I like discovering things with Buffy and like her going through it. The musical episode actually was pretty good. But the whole thing, it's like, then it just turned into this story about Dawn and Buffy. You know what I mean? When before it was about Buffy and the Scooby Gang. And I just really feel like once season 5 happened, the whole complete story changed. Like the atmosphere changed, like
the dynamic of the characters changed.
Of the show, yeah. And I just felt like this isn't the same show I started watching. So really, season 4 to me was the true ending of it, because the season 5 was the start of a new show that I didn't recognize. You know what I mean? So for me, would I have rather it ended at season 4? Not really, because I wanted it to continue. But looking back at the episodes we got, yeah, I wish it stopped at season 4.
Speaking of things we wished ended, like a step before, I honestly think that Harry Potter didn't need the epilogue.
Like, well, no, because him and Jenny can't name children very well, can they?
They just go to a graveyard and point.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was necessary. However, I also don't mind that it's there. That's kind of my view on that.
I would prefer if it wasn't included in the movies, because they didn't look right in the movies in their aged up makeup.
I actually thought they did fairly decently on the age makeup. Like, it was still weird, but like I thought they did okay.
They did okay. It's still, because we know they're not that age, so it's like weird, you know. Yeah. But like the epilogue to me, I thought she was going to release a quote unquote 8th book. And that's going to like walk you through, because when I first heard about it, it was like, oh, there's going to be an 8th book and it's going to walk you through like what everyone's doing and all this stuff. And I thought it's like, oh, that's cool. But then we got this like cheap fan fiction for an epilogue. And like a part of me still thinks that the guy who wrote The Cursed Child wrote it, because I was like, J.K. Yeah. Rowling wouldn't ever write this. And the Cursed J.K. Child Rowling just sounds says, like, huh?
J.K. Rowling still says Cursed Child is canon.
I know, unfortunately, and I hate it.
It's, whatever. I mean, you know what? The fact that, all that happened is fine. They could have found a way to tell it way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it was, I think the epilogue, I think because, you know, everybody had their theories about what was going to happen to the characters, or even just like there's so many ships in Harry Potter. Let's just go with that. Like, there's so many people who ship all these crazy characters together. So if she ended it before the epilogue, everyone could be like, well, you know what? Maybe Harry and Hermione do get together. Maybe Hermione and Draco, right?
Yes, but the whole thing, I actually do really like Scorpius and Albus together. Well, I'm like all for that.
But the thing is that like I said, I don't think it's a bad story. I think it was told poorly.
Yeah, I think they got it. I think it could have been something better. Like, there could have been a new dark force. You know what I mean? It just could have been told. Yeah, you're right. Better. It just could have been told better. But still, the epilogue feels cheap to me. So I agree with you there, Candace.
It was just, it was a lot of information she had to put in a very short amount of space. That's all. Well, that's what, I understand what she was trying to do, yes. But I just think, especially with the movie, it could have ended at Hogwarts when they were just like, it's over, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind having an epilogue, but I just wish if you're going to, but it just felt like cheap and felt like a fan fiction. Like, honestly, I would have loved to like hear about Neville as a professor and see him talk to a class for a moment. That's why I was like, ooh, maybe she'll do an 8th book and it'll like be a long like explanation of what's going on in people's lives, like an almost like a quote unquote like check-in, you know what I mean?
I never actually heard of
maybe I made
it doing an 8th book. Yeah, I think you were like kind of hoping for it, but
I probably just had weird expectations of things. And they manifested into, this is real, no more girls.
Okay, and yes, okay. And one show that all three of us watched was Gilmore Girls. And, you know, recently, the past year, we got a last season or a kind of mini series on Netflix. And Who wants to go by that ending sucked?
So, first of all, I think that the first ending, you know, before the miniseries sucked, and this ending sucked. Because, like,
yeah.
Even though, so if we go back to the first one,
which was the TV series.
Which was the TV series. It was, you know, they did some good things. I wasn't unhappy with certain things. Like, obviously, you know, she went out to live her dream, and the entire community Rory. Came and wished her well. Yeah, Rory. And the entire community came and wished her well. And, like, that was super heartwarming and touching, and, you know, the grandparents and everything. Yes. And, you know, Luke and Lorelai do end up together, but there was no finish to it. You know, like, I feel like they should have gotten them together. They didn't have to wait until the last moment. Also, the whole Logan thing, I don't understand why I understand why she didn't marry him. I know she was young. I know she wanted to go out and, like, do stuff. But honestly, that was a pretty good offer to literally have everything fall into place as, like, I don't know. I think most of us want awesome job opportunities where they were. She loved Logan, and they had been together for forever. And also he had a stable thing going on. So she actually could have been, like, looking for a while and taken the time to, like, find the perfect opportunity in that area. It was just that she didn't want to stay in a particular area, which I get it. If that's how she is, that's how she is. But it's still
Logan would have let her go, though. Like, if she got an opportunity, he'd been like,
not go. I'm saying in that particular area. And that's why they broke up, was the fact that she wanted to go and, like, do all this, like, you know, travel for be a travel journalist and all this stuff, and not limit herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do get that in a way. But at the same time, it still kind of made me mad, because I'm like, but you guys are so amazing together, and then nothing. Like,
yeah, sucks. It seemed kind of, like, out of character. Like, they were together for this long, and all of a sudden it's like, it's this or nothing kind of thing. Like, if they happened to,
That was another thing. It wasn't just her choice. It was also the fact that he chose it's this or nothing.
Well, it felt out of character for Logan, because I felt like he would have been like, hey, marry me and I'll let you do what you want. Like, I feel like...
Yeah.
Like, okay with it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I feel like they just try to make Logan the quote-unquote villain. Why do we keep on saying quote-unquote? They may have seen, like the villain again. And it's like,
together with him for years.
And he did start off as a little douche nozzle, but then he grew out of it.
Like, they both made each other grow. Yes. And that was the thing is, well, maybe, I mean, she definitely was a part of him growing. I don't know if she ever really grew up based off of the miniseries, but.
Very true.
Which, let's talk about that now.
It ends, I think this is like the original ending for the series, because the creators actually weren't part of the last season.
Yeah.
So I think this goes back to How I Met Your Mother. They had a plan. They're going to stick with it. The very last lines are, the very last scene is Lorelai and Rory talking, and Rory tells her mother she's pregnant. And it's supposed to be like this, oh my God, what is she going to do? But she's 30-something. She's a 37-something-year-old woman. And it actually, the whole Netflix thing was kind of sad to watch, even though it was kind of realistic in a way. Like, Rory has no idea what she's doing with our life still.
Classic millennial.
Probably eating avocado with toast, so she can't afford anything.
Because avocado with toast is the only thing keeping us from buying a house. Let's remember that.
We're still so bitter about that. But yeah, so I think it would have been a bigger thing if she was 22 and she was like, oh, I'm pregnant kind of thing. That would have been a big deal. But at age 30, whatever. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
you're grown.
I mean, like, I get she's still searching, and she's maybe at that point, you know, she's still at a point in life where she doesn't feel like she can take on that responsibility, because at this point, like, she doesn't have a job. She doesn't have anything going. But one, she has resources. I mean, she can stay with Lorelai. It's not the fallout that, like, Lorelai had with her parents. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, too. She's older, and she has more resources than she thinks.
She has a degree from Yale. She might not get the job exactly she wants, but she could still, like, she could get a job at her old high school. Like, they offered her. She could teach. Yeah. That's just what you do when you have kids. Just, you have to make sacrifices.
I think what pissed me off is, like, in the ending of both shows, is that it doesn't seem like either of them have grown. At the end of the miniseries, you see that Emily kind of, like, makes her peace with everything and actually moves past this whole, you know, crazy...
Losing her husband.
Yeah. Well, losing her husband, but all the drama that was associated with her life. Like, she kind of moves past it, and she becomes a stronger person because of it.
She does.
Lorelai and Rory learn absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
They literally they're still the same self-involved... Like, they think everything is going to come to them because they've, quote-unquote, worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's worked hard. Come on, guys. Like, it's not just because, like, you have this fancy degree that you're going to get the job of your dreams. Like, that just doesn't happen. I'm sorry.
Well, it's true. And, like, I don't understand. Rory would be a great teacher. Like, it just makes it feel so selfish that she doesn't want to teach.
Exactly. No. She's just selfish. But that's the thing, is that there was no real growth from any of the characters. And I kind of had this feeling where I'm like, did you want us to love these characters in the end? Or did you just not care?
Well, even like still, like when I went back and watched it for like what, like the fourth time, because I'm crazy, maybe the third, but whatever. like, honestly, I hate their characters.
Oh yeah, they're
most
terrible
of the
people.
Times. I'm like, they're awful people.
Now that we're like adults, like before when we were watching it, we were teenagers and younger. Yeah, do you think it's because we're older now and we've actually lived life and we're like, that's not the way the world works?
No, I think I got it.
Oh, go ahead. Now, part of it, I think for me at least, I think part of it is that. But at the same time, like I kind of always knew that throughout the series, but they had enough redeeming moments and they were just so fun that I think that I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm. Like I was like, put blinders on, like ignoring a bad boyfriend. I'm ignoring bad characters. Like.
Have you guys heard the fan theory that the WB TV series was actually what Rory wrote in her book? Well, the Netflix series is real life. That's why Rory is such a piece of work. She's so lost and crazy. It's like, the Gilmore Girls series, Rory's kind of a little Miss Perfect, you know? Yeah. She does have some issues, but they're saying like that's written from the point of view of Rory.
But she does kind of get worse as, even in the series, as time goes on. So I think, but maybe she also doesn't feel like anything that she would be, or maybe she doesn't feel like she was. Maybe she feels like she was totally in the right for any of this,
mm-hmm.
you know? And therefore just doesn't see it. That's interesting.
I don't know, like she would be a great teacher because like I never saw Rory as someone who would be a television news host. Like I was like,
she didn't want to be that. She didn't want to be a television news host. She wanted to go out and be like a
reporter.
But still, like, I mean, I feel like, you know, you have to get on television and talk about your expertise at some point. Be like, oh, it's really bad out here. See, that's bombs. Ew.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
But like, you know what I mean? I'm just saying like, I could never say.
Being like a serious news journalist, you have to go places you wouldn't usually go. You have to ask questions and you have to not give a shit if somebody's going to like curse you out.
Yeah. I just feel like she's fragile. She lives in a bubble her whole life. Yeah. Like I just feel like she would never make it. And that's why you appreciate the Netflix thing because like, she's like, oh, well I could have make it. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, that's realistic.
Yeah. And but, when she goes out to try and do like the news stories and she's just like falling asleep and like being bored, it's like, dude, I'm sorry, but you have to do, sometimes you have to do stuff that you don't want to do or you do not find interesting.
Yeah.
There was plenty of times when, because I was, I majored in mass communications and I was interning and I did stuff for a nonprofit radio news place that will go unnamed that can cover some things that aren't as interesting as you would like. As a 20-something, would think what's interesting. Yeah. But I would have to listen to hours and hours of interviews and find quotes and make a story. And that's just, you know, it's not all fun. Sometimes got to do cool things like
probably,
a dog park.
Yeah, but you probably weren't rude when you go about it. I just felt like Rory was rude, selfish, like, and like, honestly, it's like, I felt like the writers wanted this for her. But also...
Sorry, that was one thing that I wanted to say was that I am kind of, it worries me now thinking about this because I'm thinking like, what is this, how people like older generations see millennials? Because I know that there are some people out there like that from our generation for sure.
No, they're ruining it all for us.
Yeah, I know, but we're not all like that. Like we may complain, like, yeah, this hasn't fallen together and we wish it had or whatever, but we still do the work.
And yeah, we still, not all millennials. Yeah.
But I mean, like, in general with Gilmore Girls as a series, like, the TV show and the Netflix thing, I really think the creators had in mind, like, this is, like, Rory's dream job. But the actress – I love Alexis Bledel. Don't get me wrong. But the actress they got for the part, I was like, she would never want that. Like, look at this timid little girl who can barely string a sentence together. Like, that's not someone you would send into a war zone and be like, go report. You wouldn't send her in. You know what I mean? Like, I just felt like her job, like, maybe she had that dream when she was younger, but like, I feel like Rory should have evolved more and they just kept her as a child.
What I mean. There was no evolution.
No, there was none. And I think that falls into like the writers, you're right, having one pinpoint, this is what we want to do with her. And then if she couldn't make it, then her world falls apart. But I really feel like Rory would be like, oh yeah, I would love a job at Chilton. I love teaching because she loved everything. Like, come on.
Work. Like, and that's not, honestly, like when I was 13, I thought I was going to be a journalist, but then I slowly adapted and now I'm more into marketing and photography. Those still had to do, they still like, there were steps in between.
Yeah.
And you realize as you grow up also, like, you try things out. Like, I had to write obituaries. I had to interview grieving families. And I'm like, oof. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I physically can't do this because I can't go home crying every night.
Yeah.
So you learn things about yourself. And there are a few people who do know what they want to do when they're 10.
And they go out and do it, you know? But, exactly. But
the majority of us adapt. Like, we can still stay in that still, like, the field. But it's not going to be exactly what I thought I was going to be doing when I was 13.
Right. I don't know. And then that whole Netflix part of, like, her and Rory, like, going to the pool and, like, making fun of a fat man. Like, oh, I was just like, are they, like,
body shaming?
Are they, like, stupid girls? Are they, like, both, like...
She's, like, in, like, Lorelai is, like, 45.
Yeah.
46.
Like, I was just like, really? And like, I just feel like the creators just put this like bubble around them and be like, oh my God, we're so amazing. We're so pretty. Like, huh? And I'm like, what the hell is going on with these two? It just makes me like upset because I was like, I really did invest a lot of time watching these two.
But see? See?
Like, okay, yes, you're right. You're right.
Going back, it all circles together. Okay, I think we're getting to the end.
Okay, yes. I definitely see what you mean. I did invest, and then they did me wrong. But I guess, like, you're right.
But with Gilmore Girls,
it to you.
Gilmore Girls was an hour comedy drama thing. So, I mean, they do have a little bit more leeway, and they can do a little bit more.
And I don't mind that they have flaws. I love a good character flaw. I love it. But at the same time, they thought so highly of themselves that I was like, there's no, where's the redemption? Because like for every bad character, there's normally a side where you can relate. And yes, I am talking about Draco Malfoy because I still think he's a precious little angel child.
We always know.
How does he end up in every episode?
And Kylo Ren.
Okay.
You just had to put that one in there.
This was one episode where I did not bring up Star Wars, but she did. But I will bring up that Star Wars Rebels had the best series finale ever.
No, wait, hold on. We're doing a whole episode now with the best series finale, so don't worry about it.
Yes. We are not just negative Nancys. We can be positive Patties. I don't know.
Is that okay?
It's not a thing. I'm making it a thing.
Okay.
But okay, cool. Speaking of going full circle, I think that's a good way to end the episode. So, Brie, can you tell them about our social media, please?
Yeah. Definitely tell us, like, what you think about this episode. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the same name at GeekyGirlGab and Tumblr as well. We definitely want to know your thoughts. Like, what series endings did you hate? Did you wish would change? Like, do you agree with us about all these ones that we've talked about? Or do you agree?
Did you actually like How I Met Your Mother's ending? I would like to know who out there liked this ending.
These two are so highly passionate.
Yeah, be careful, I guess, if you I don't know.
We won't insult you much.
Well, no, we won't insult you. I just see the murderous glare in Candace's eyes, and
Listen, don't think they exist. I think they're like Bigfoot.
I got everyone's back here because I never even watched it. So I got your back, regardless.
Well, honestly, we really wouldn't want to know like the other side of the story, like why you didn't enjoy it. Yeah.
I would like to know, maybe if you can convince me that it was a good finale, I can actually go back and watch it. Because I literally have like the first 5 seasons on DVD just collecting dust.
Yeah.
Oof. Harsh. So yeah, again, thank you for listening to us on, you know, whatever site you found us on.
Yeah, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on
Anchor.
Subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you aren't already doing so.
And a one, a two, a three.
I'm Candace.
Thank
you. Oh, I